A recent Times of Israel report captured global attention with the heartbreaking story of Sharon Eisenkot, whose 19-year-old son, Sergeant Maor Cohen Eisenkot, was killed in Gaza in December 2023. In a landmark case, an Israeli family court granted her the right to preserve and potentially use Maor's sperm based on his expressed wish to become a dad, even posthumously. Now, contrary to media misreporting, the court did not approve surrogacy or the creation of a grandchild, but rather gave a general conditional approval, with further legal steps still required if a willing woman chooses to bear the child. On the line is Dr. Bella Savitsky. She is a public health specialist and an epidemiologist, and she lost her own son in the current Gaza war, and she's now advocating for the establishment of a national IDF sperm bank. Her vision speaks to legacy, grief, and the choices parents should have in preserving life after loss. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. This story struck a deep chord, but it's already being misreported. Why is it so important to clarify the legal nuance in Sharon Eisenkot's case?
I really don't understand why journalists like to, you know, a little bit to squeeze the facts. But this word surrogacy here is not so suitable at all, because it's very different things. One thing is when a woman is carrying the child and then gives them to grandmother and grandfather to raise the child, which is not appropriate, and the Jewish law, Israeli law, will not permit it. Another case, if a woman want to be a mother of the child of the dead soldier, and in this case she will get the sperm after a court will approve her, as a candidate for this mission, and then she will become a mother, and she will raise this child as a mother. In this case, grandfather and grandmother can help her to raise their grandchild, but only if she wish. For example, if this woman want to, move to another country, she could do it. So they will be only grandparents, and she will be a real mother. This case will, have good chances to get a permission according to Israeli law, and we even have such case in Israel. We have an 11-year-old daughter of dead soldiers who was born exactly after this process, when grandmother found a woman who wanted to be a mother of the child of her dead son, and this woman became a mother, and now the child is 11-year-old daughter. You can read about the case. This is Cohen family. And their son was died in 2002 in some terrorist, sniper killed him. I'm not sure where exactly, but it was some terrorist attack on the border or something like this. So it was a long time ago.
Bella, okay. You've said that grief doesn't end with a funeral. It transforms. What inspired you personally to begin advocating for a national IDF sperm bank?
First of all, we cannot argue that the sperm from living men will be better than sperm from the dead men. We don't have some, doubt about this fact. It can't be as good as the sperm of the living men. First of all, it will when man is going to the sperm bank to preserve his sperm, the amount of sperm will be big enough, so the woman which will want to use it, she doesn't need to go through IVF and another medical processes. It will be much easier for the woman, first of all. And another reason is that they don't have another studies, another research, how these children who was born after sperm was taken from dead men, how these children developed. We have some reported cases in medical literature, but not so much, only 8 cases. So this field is not studied enough. In contrast with the regular sperm usage for such processes, which is studied enough, and we know that the process is very safe, and the children who were born from this fertilization, in vitro fertilization, are healthy, and it's okay. So I think that it will be better to preserve sperm from which was given by living men, and then use it in case of need. The case of need also, we don't want only speak about the death of the man. It can be something else. For example, reproductivity of men is on decline, according to the recent studies. It's happened worldwide that men are less reproductive, you know. Among the couples who visited reproductive clinics, in half of cases, the problem of men is involved. So I think it's a good idea if a young man will preserve their sperm, and maybe in the future, if they will encounter the problem with fertility, they can use the sperm by themselves.
Bella,
so it's not necessary for military casualties.
Yes, I understand that. If I go, though, to the idea that you are pushing for, which is the idea of preserving sperm from soldiers, some people might not like the idea. What would you say to those who feel that maybe it's unnatural or you're even exploiting the soldiers?
I think that when country is sending young boys to the battle where the high risk for their life exists, I think it will be very nice to take care of this problem, for example, and let them to preserve the sperm for free without a payment. Any man can go and preserve his sperm, but it's very expensive. It's really expensive. So I think it will be nice if the sperm bank will preserve the sperm for free, at least during the military service, and then men will decide if he want to pay for this preservation or not. But for the period of the military service, I think it's very good idea.
How has the Israeli army, the IDF, responded to your idea of setting up a sperm bank for soldiers?
IDF is not responding. It's not its interest at all. So this sperm bank can be initiated out of IDF, for example, with the cooperation with some of sperm banks in Israel, and Professor Hagai Levin and myself, we did a round of interviews with the managers of sperm bank. A lot of them like the idea and will cooperate. We only need to decide whether men want it or not. So now I'm doing some study about to find out whether young men are interested in preserving their sperm, and if we will see that the percentages of this will is high, so maybe the initiation of this bank is appropriate if the men want it. So now I'm doing such study. It's very preliminary. My sample is small, only something like 250 men answered, but in this sample I can see that 40% of men, their attitudes towards sperm preservation in the young age are positive. They would like it if it will be for free.
Bella, your son died in the war. Am I correct that it's too late for you to do it with your son? And is that where the idea came from?
I'm very, very regret that I didn't have this conversation with my son. He was in the army already for 2 years and 8 months. It was only 4 additional months till his release. Here in Israel, every boy at the age of 18 need to serve in the army. There are some exceptions, for example, Arabs and ultra-Orthodox, but the other boys need to serve. So he was recruited at the age of 18. He was in the army almost 3 years. And I was thinking that his army service will end soon. You know, I didn't think about his possible death. I didn't think that such is an awful terror attack will happen in Israel, like it was on the October 7th, with so many casualties among citizens and soldiers. I'm very regret that I never spoke with him about it, and I never thought about preserving his sperm. And now, you know, this wonderful person, you can go to the internet site, just write Tantan, COIL on the internet, and you will see our internet site. Such a wonderful and intelligent person just disappeared without leaving grandchildren for me. But you know, he was such a wonderful person, such a loss for humanity, I think.
And Bella,
so I think
I think that, you know, it was too late for you, but obviously, and too late for him, but obviously what you're doing, make sure that his memory will live on. And please God, you are successful in your efforts, and other mothers and other families won't have to go through what you went through. That's Dr. Bella Savitsky, public health specialist and epidemiologist, sharing with us her initiative and her work towards creating an IDF sperm bank.